Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, I guess we'll probably be accused of licking our chops once again because energy and gas prices, in an interesting way, is our good martini today. First of all, the Democrats, as reported in a number of outlets, including HotAir.com, panicking already. The likes of Ed Markey, who is perhaps the number one enemy of natural resources in this country, wants to tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, an idea that's not gaining a lot of traction, though, because Steny Hoyer has actually said he doesn't think this is an important time to do it. There's no lines. There's no supply, breaking the supply chains and so forth. And at the same time, Jim, you've done a great job of explaining through your good friend Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, how the president is completely full of it as he tries to explain how he's been the one to jack up the rate of exploration in this country. So pretty good twin bill for Republicans trying to make the argument that the Democrats have no answers and Republicans do.
Having no answers from the Democrats might be an improvement over having the bad answers that they're suggesting. I'm one of those guys who's old enough to remember back in 2000, when George W. Bush and Al Gore were running against each other. Bush was talking about Anwar, drilling up there, how you could get a great deal of oil out and minimize the environmental impact. And Al Gore said, oh, come on, it would take 10 years for that oil to come to market. And here we are 12 years later. But what's more is that, you know, Gore wanted to use oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Now, strategic in the title is traditionally the belief there is for an emergency. Heaven forbid the Middle East blows up in a terrible war and you know, imported oil supplies are significantly disrupted. That's supposed to be a six-month supply to keep America running while we deal with whatever crisis is going on that interrupts our flow of oil to us. Without a full Strategic Petroleum Reserve, we would basically be up a creek without a paddle. There's a reason. It's supposed to be for emergencies. Now, between Clinton and between Obama, you would get the impression that the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is a reserve designed for when Democrats are in political trouble. They can tap into it and mitigate the issue of gas prices. But that's not what it's supposed to be there for at all. Now, in terms of additional drilling, yesterday the Republican Governors Association held a meeting. One of the reporters asked, well, you know, you're giving Obama grief about gas prices. What could he do that really would make a huge difference? And besides, a couple of different areas he mentioned. He talked about the Keystone Pipeline. He talked about fracking and how there's a great deal of anxiety in the industry that fracking will be, the administration will attempt to restrict that. There's talk about the EPA attempting to kind of do a backdoor cap and trade. But most significantly, and what I've laid out today on Campaign Spot, is that the administration is approving new permits and new leases for offshore, both near and deep water oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, this is a policy that allegedly the president already approves. That allegedly they have, you know, determined that there's nothing safe. Everyone remembers the Deepwater Horizon spill, but at that time there were 25 different deepwater drilling projects going on. What happened to Deepwater Horizon is an absolute horrific disaster. But, you know, I think it's safe to say that, you know, the people who are working on those rigs don't want to see it happen again. The companies that require all the capital investments to build those rigs and deploy those rigs and keep those rigs operating, they don't want to see that happen again. It's in everybody's interest to make sure that these rigs, you know, do not spill oil and do not have any terrible disasters. I don't think you can argue that anybody is going to be lax or sloppy or not really care about the safety of their workers and the safety of the Gulf and the safety of being able to extract the oil. So, you know, this is a report put up by a group called Greater New Orleans. They're basically a group of businesses in the southeast Louisiana. And what they demonstrate is that by every single measuring stick, the Obama administration has slowed down this permitting process to a trickle. The moratorium on drilling that Obama had put into effect after the spill has passed. What they call a permittatorium is going on. They're approving about two permits a month, which is way below what it was. And so when Obama says he's doing everything to increase domestic production, horse pucky. There are a whole bunch of different policy proposals that Obama could enact tomorrow. As Bobby Jindal said, if he goes out and gives this speech tomorrow, oil, gas prices and oil prices, energy prices will change accordingly because companies would finally have a stable policy and regulatory environment before them. They don't have that under Obama, and it will not happen until this president leaves office.
Hopefully, whoever the Republican nominee is listening. Unfortunately, they don't seem to be listening and talking about the right things right now. Today is primary day. Arizona and Michigan are voting. The way this campaign is ending in Michigan, Jim, is definitely a bad martini on a number of fronts. First of all, the big issue today is the robocall that Santorum is using to try and get Democrats into this open primary to help put him over the top. So here's a bit of the robocall, followed by Romney being outraged by it, followed by Santorum defending of it.
Romney supported the bailouts for his Wall Street billionaire buddies, but opposed the auto bailouts. That was a slap in the face to every Michigan worker, and we're not going to let Romney get away with it. On Tuesday, join Democrats who are going to send a loud message to Massachusetts' Mitt Romney by voting for Rick Santorum for president.
A terrible, dirty trick at the last hour, by the way, late in the afternoon on the day before the election, maybe hoping no one would notice, they start sending out calls to Democrats, union members, telling him to go into the Republican primary and vote against Mitt Romney. This is reminiscent of the dirty tricks of the past, and it's got to end. And I think Rick Santorum has a lot of explaining to do.
I mean, when he runs a robocall of my voice from 4 years ago saying good things about him, that's not a low moment. And when I run a call basically saying, calling Democrats who are eligible to vote here to vote for us, that's a low, what, encouraging people to come and vote for us because we talk about our manufacturing plan and what we're going to do to create jobs. It's a very positive robocall.
All right, Jim. Pox on both their houses here from where I stand. First of all, Santorum, who's been positioning himself as the one true and tried conservative in this race, now all of a sudden cozying up to Democrats to try to put himself over the top. That's clearly not going over well. But Romney, who, of course, in most cases is the most moderate candidate, loves open primaries most of the time. So for him to suggest that appealing to Democrats in this race is a little bit hypocritical. Plus, if anyone, and his super PAC included, has gone negative in this race, it's certainly been him as much as anybody else. So the one thing I didn't hear there, any criticism of President Obama and why he needs to go, they're clearly off message.
I could use a pox thrower right now. I want a you know, symbol of flamethrowers, you know, or that mudslinging machine gun in the Santorum ad. I want to hurl a lot of pox right about now because I am unimpressed with both of these campaigns. Let me just observe. You know those Wall Street bank buddies that are demonized in that robocall, Greg?
Yeah.
You know, they paid back their TARP money. The auto companies haven't done that. So one little kind of detail in that one, that as much as we may all like to sneer at the banks, they paid back the money they did. AIG did not. They're an insurance company. I don't know how you'd classify them. But basically, it's very easy to demonize TARP. But if you look closely, the auto bailout is probably going to be much worse for the American taxpayer than TARP turned out to be. You could make the argument that Santorum has this precisely backwards, that the bank bailout ended up being a reasonable way to, you know, minimize risk in the banking system and avoiding a full financial collapse, and that the auto bailout is where it ended up being an absolute, you know, payoff to the auto unions. Of course, when you're basically saying Democrats come vote for me, so Santorum said because we want to rebuild our industrial economy. Does he want to rebuild it through bailouts like the auto industry received? And you're the Republican? Really? Because at that point, I'm very tempted to stay home. I really believe that if the Republican Party wants to go out as the party of industrial policy, the party of picking winners and losers in the marketplace, the party of going out and handing out vast gobs of taxpayer money to the industries that they prefer that can be paid back whenever they feel like it, then all of a sudden the Constitution Party and all the other options start looking really good. You can argue that Romney's being rather thin-skinned about this. The king of the negative ad really should not be complaining about these robocalls. It was one thing if the Democrats are trying to encourage their members to do their own version of Operation Chaos and to go over. It just seems like crossing a line to say, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get Democrats to vote in our primary. As readers and listeners know, I am a supporter of closed primaries.
Correct.
I think if you want a decision to have a say in who a party nominates, you should be a member of that party. And then the other thing is, like, if you're going to say Democrats vote for me because I'm pro-life, Democrats vote for me because I'll respect your Second Amendment rights and Barack Obama. In other words, if you want to try to bring over a Reagan Democrat to vote in the Republican primary, at least do it on a conservative stance. You know, at least do it on a traditionally Republican view. Right now, Rick Santorum, with that robocall, is trying to encourage liberals to vote in a Republican primary because of a liberal stance, which is bailing out the auto industry. And that's, I think, where it would really is the line that has me hopping mad at this. And, you know, this will probably spur calls that I'm just another Romney bot. Why am I not bothered by Romney care, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm particularly irked by this particular strategy of Santorum.
Mitt Romney probably isn't as mad as we really think. I'm sure he's mad about that. But, Jim, as we get into martini number three now, there's only a certain amount of anger that you can express when you've just accomplished the greatest team up that you can in advance of the Michigan primary. He's got the full endorsement of Kid Rock. No word yet on whether Pamela Anderson's on board, but I know they're not together anymore. But anyway, if Kid Rock's in your corner, things are going okay, right?
I loved it when Romney jumped up on stage and sang the old Kid Rock anthem, "I Am American Bad Tush." Really, if you know, I mean, like, here's the thing. First of all, it tells you a lot about the evolution of Kid Rock, because if you go back and look at the video for the song that is American Bad Tush, although he doesn't say tush, not safe for work readers, girls in bikinis, mud wrestling, revving Harley. I mean, on the one hand, it is, you can kind of see this as this classic anthem of the American rebel, the anthem that the latest song that Romney's using on his campaign, Born Free. Look, Kid Rock has always had this kind of classic Midwestern don't tread on me attitude that I think a lot of, you know, Tea Partiers would find admirable. Having said that, early in his career, particularly in these songs and videos, more than a little bit of tawdriness, and also some lyrics that I think are quite questionable taste. "I Blew Up Like Oklahoma," for example. I think people who live in Oklahoma City may not be quite so happy to hear their city's tragedy cited as a pun in a rap lyric. Nonetheless, that's a long time ago, and I just think there's a great inspiration for a great buddy cop movie here. Romney as the straight-laced, by-the-book detective, and Kid Rock is the undercover guy who likes to, you know, improvise. Kind of a Murtaugh and Riggs for this decade. So, with Eminem as their snitch. So, anyway, this is, you know, the only thing that could have been more bizarre is if, you know, Romney and Eminem had joined there together. I had joked seeing, I just wanted to see Romney sing with Kid Rock. That would just be like the last duet kind of way of showing that this campaign has gone completely around the bend. It's gone surreal, and it's starting to feel kind of dreamlike and otherworldly. And hey, at least it's not boring, huh, Greg?
Exactly. I want to know where the far more, you know, reputable and respected Ted Nugent falls in this race, because he's from Michigan and he's pretty conservative as well. So I'm not sure where he's lined up, but if anybody can dull the luster of Kid Rock endorsing Mitt Romney at the 11th hour, I guess it would be Ted Nugent. Although if he also endorsed Romney, then I'd say game over.
I am, too, we could say, one friend removed from Ted Nugent. We share a friend, Cam Edwards' program, who I appear on Thursdays. I don't know if Ted Nugent has formally endorsed in this, but I do know that many folks who are part of the gun rights community are wary of Mitt Romney, shall we say, and Rick Santorum has a pretty solid record on that issue. So I think between the two, I would put Nugent as more likely to end up in the Santorum category, although I have no idea whether Santorum's cultural views have room for cat scratch fever. We'll have to see how that goes. or whether Kill It and Grill It really is part of the Santorum. Clearly, Kill It and Grill It would not meet the Michelle Obama standards for dietary regulations and such.
All the more reason his endorsement should carry some weight if, in fact, he makes one. Jim, hope it's not too late of a night tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Have a good one.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.